Hey Wargamers, welcome back to the channel Death From Above Wargaming. I'm Aaron and I am here with Tom and Dom. It's Sunday morning again and we are back with Jump Point, the most controversial show in the Inner Sphere. So today we do have a very juicy controversial topic that we're going to dive into. And it is titled, to 3D print or not to 3D print? That is indeed the question. So we are going to get into that. We're going to talk all about our opinions on 3D printing. As always, feel free to live stream your comments right into the comments section of this video. And while you're there, leave a like and of course, subscribe as well. But why don't we get right into this and we'll start with a little rapid fire. All right. What do you say, guys? So here's a little bit of a thought exercise. It's a little bit less of a rapid fire, perhaps. What do you think will replace 3D printers in 20 years as like the new craze? What do you think will it be, Tom?
Mushrooms.
Fungiprints.
Have you been watching Last of Us again?
No. No, I mean, I think, you know, organic, you know, it's, you're not, you don't need plastic. You're just going to grow the thing. A little peachy.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Ooh. Okay. God, your mind works in amazing ways.
They already
ways.
Do that with like pack. I don't know if you've seen it, but they make like packaging out of mushroom stuff now. It's pretty cool. So
I did not see
off.
That, but interesting. Interesting.
But then they'll be like maybe they're even little garden creatures. Could you imagine?
Just grow them in the garden.
They're like genetically
engineered.
I'll
go out there with
my little
hoe and like, you know,
3 pounds of urban max.
or like we implant little things inside of larger bugs and then we make them fight each other. It'd be great. Either way, I'm on board. So,
okay, Dom, something a little less insane. What do you think?
I can't beat that. I mean, mushrooms.
I'm just like, maybe the first thing that came to my mind, and we're so off topic, is like the, do you know how they like cloned the mouse, right? And it was growing the human ear on the back
ear
of the
on
mouse.
The back.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just imagining mice running around with like CGL like atlases on the back of them. Like, you just like.
Yeah. It's exactly right. What I pictured in my head.
Oh my God. Wow. I mean, I was going to go the Star Trek route and like say like, you know, like with the like little materializer things, you could just like press a button and what the hell?
What
do
if
they
it's
call
all
those?
Just holograms?
A replicator.
Replicator.
We're all wearing those headsets and it's all just digital.
It's true.
Yeah.
Could be.
That's probably more likely, I think.
But I do like the mouse with the Atlas growing on the back much better. So why
Get
don't we
on it, somebody.
Why don't we jump into our Ready Room Roundtable? That might be the best rapid fire I think we've ever had. Thank you, Tom. That was incredible. So Ready Room Roundtable. All right, we're going to get into some controversial stuff here, guys. So 3D printing. Let's start out with the elephant in the room, if you will. Is 3D printing really a problem for the gaming industry, or is it a gateway for players to actually get into the gaming, you know, the gaming side of things, right? Like maybe they don't have enough money to buy the official models, or maybe they don't want to because they don't want to outlay the cash and they want to try with quick start rules. You know, is it sort of that thing where like 20 or 30 years ago, right, it was just a cardboard standee or a dude drawing a mech on a piece of paper and sticking it on a thing? Like, let's talk about that. So, Dom, why don't we start with you? All right, you can give us a little bit of opinion, and then Tom, mm-hmm. we'll jump to you.
I think right now, obviously, we are in a very betwixt and between place with this, and I think I'd tackle this by saying, cast your mind back to when, like, I don't know, to like the 2000, late 90s up to like to the 2000s, when you had companies, people pirating, and still do it, obviously, all manners of media, like films and music, yeah. etc. And think how companies reacted to that. They were, you know, there was like a lot of litigation cases. They'd go after
DRM.
People. But But what eventually happened was it was all just brought back in the fold. And now we have streaming companies, right? So you had companies like, say, Netflix, who, you know, years and years ago, that would have been highly illegal and it would have been like akin to something like Pirate Bay. And now it's right. just completely standard. And you had like, was it like Napster leading into things like
Napster,
Spotify?
Yeah.
So you've got this like situation where initially what is like really industry disruptive becomes the norm, and it just gets, basically the companies find out ways to monetize it.
That's a great answer. Tom, what do you think?
So no, I don't think it's ever really going to, well, actually in the near term, I don't think it's ever going to challenge them. There's just not enough people that want to invest in a printer without official miniatures. There's a lot of people who won't bother with
That's
it.
That's the key. Yeah, for me.
Yeah, if they did though, like Dom had, like he started down a really interesting path. You know, just imagine if Catalyst, instead of focusing on, you know, the boxes and all the stuff, instead built a like an application where you could customize each of those chassis that you want. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you want a specific variant, and it's like kind of like that, what is it, Hero Forge, where you build your D&D minis? Yep. Yeah, same thing. So then you can get all the cool little weapons that you want on your, you know, Atlas 2D or whatever. And then you can, you know, build your own pack that way. Or he said, like, maybe it's a monthly subscription, or maybe you buy a number of downloads that are equal to how many you want to make. So, like, every, I don't know how they would do it, but like every download's like a one-time use.
Yeah.
And so then they could charge you like a dollar for it or something. I don't know. But then, but what's the value for them? I don't know.
Right. That's interesting. It's yeah. Tough. I mean, it is tough, but I tend to agree with you. I actually think that the actual financial impact is way overblown. Now, I want to draw a distinction between also the BattleTech situation, which is a little bit unique because they are legitimately like legal, right, designs that were given out into the public by, you know, whoever the hell that was, who was a Piranha or whoever handed out the 3D
models. Oh, like the MWO stuff?
Yeah. I can't remember which company it was. But anyway, the point is, like, people are allowed to use those and print them. I don't know the specifics around reselling them, but suspend that.
Let me bring it back to, I think, like the first comment you made too. It's really no different when you say it in a way that made me really think about it. Like, people used to draw the mechs on paper. Mm-hmm. It's literally the same. It's just that we have access to these much better tools now.
Right.
They would have been doing the same. And I was looking at this guy modded his Warhammer Titan. And, you know, you used to build that stuff out of green stuff, right? And out of card stock or plastic stock.
Sure, like the really old stuff.
And now you should see it. It looks like a Canon model you'd buy off the shelf, because you can put so much detail into it. And it's legitimately no different. It's just that you have the capability as a consumer to do that stuff. So
right. We talked about how they could adjust to it, right? Like maybe they could sell, but how do we think like they could embrace it and bring these people into the fold, kind of like Dom in your example, right? Like with Napster. Napster, I thought, was a great and very, you know, sort of relevant parallel. Like, how do these companies bring these people into the fold?
I mean, the first thing, and it's very, very obvious, is but to just keep your product affordable, because just to echo what you were saying there, Aaron, I think people do want the official products for multitudes of reasons. I mean, at the moment, the obvious one with Catalyst at the moment is extremely obvious, and the quality is, I mean, I've never seen a 3D print as good as they are. I've never seen it as good as something that's been done by an official designer,
right,
and then it's been done in a plastics factory. But I think if you make it so, you know, economically unviable that people go to the kind of unofficial sources, they will do that, or you might lose that like percentile who are kind of sat on the fence.
I do want to get to you, Tom, but I'll jump in just because I want to pile on that point. Like, I think the way that you get around this as a company is you simply cannot be threatened by it. Like, you cannot flail around and act like this is going to destroy your business model when it's a thing that you don't even really do, right?
Yeah.
And instead, double down on what you do really well and continue to innovate there and continue to get better. Yeah. Like, I don't think you even have to recognize it. Like, for example, like they could design and produce mechs way faster and outstrip the MWO baseline extremely quickly if they really wanted to, right? You know, and as far as Games Workshop goes, you know, it's a little bit of a different animal. And yeah, there are people that are just flat out like ripping off Space Marines and things like that. Mm-hmm. And that's probably when you want to get the lawyers involved, you know, because it's just flat out, you know, copy. I mean, they're just copying it, right?
Just infringement.
And that's not okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Tom, I do want to hear your opinion on this. What do you think about gaming companies embracing sort of that 3D printing model versus fighting against it?
Where I think that they do have a point is in like straight up copy. Like if somebody's taking one of the new plastics and recreating it, like 3D scanning it and then making it, that's not cool.
Right.
And if they're infringing on like the naming and all of that, but proxies are proxies. Like I just, like you said, if somebody, it's never going to be a large enough, as long as they're staying relevant and affordable. From prior experience, I remember that 3D printed mechs weren't cheaper. You were buying 3D printed mechs off Etsy because they didn't exist. It wasn't because they were better.
That is exactly right.
You know, so again, there's like a lack of economic incentive for people to try and make it a business. Unless you, like, I know that there's like dudes in like Romania and you buy like a baggie of parts, right? I've seen that stuff float around. There might be ketamine in it.
Like a baggie of gray plastic dust. You're like,
yeah. That's what I mean. You got to be careful. You don't know which baggie's which.
Ooh, that was an urban mech. Oh. Yeah. So, you know, let's segue. That's a great segue into the next topic, which is, you know, let's talk real quick about some of the pros and cons of 3D printing, because I do think the benefits, and this is going to close out the round table. I do think personally the benefits are overblown. So, Tom, why don't we just start with you since you were kind of on that thread anyway. You know, what is your opinion in general on what you've seen in the market on the 3D printing side?
I am extremely critical. I think like maybe one out of 50 3D printed mechs that I've ever seen were of a quality that I would deem acceptable. So many of them have print lines, and as soon as you paint them, like you can clock them 50 feet away, let alone that, you know, the designs themselves might not be great, but like you can see the texture, and that's what kills me. I hate, absolutely hate that texture. I tried painting it a couple times, hate it beyond. Can feel it. I hate it. I've tried
dipping them in acetone. I've tried everything. Yeah. And you know, unless they're resin printed, and then the problem with resin ones is they break all the time. If they slip off the shelf, like, forget it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. They break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to have a good process to cure them after printing. And so it's hard. That was the con, right? Did I need to give a pro?
No,
as
you
well?
Don't need to give a pro.
Okay. Cause I don't have any. So
no, I think the pro, I don't have any.
I'm just kidding. I'm just messing around.
No, it's fine. I mean, honestly, like the 3D printed minis, and I'm not talking about terrain, I'm talking about minis. The best things that I've seen are from Sage Print Labs, the aerospace fighters. They don't break. They're really good detail and quality.
Yeah.
But they're expensive because they use very high quality materials, right? Mm-hmm. So you're not really saving money, but at the same time, they make a lot of designs that look like aerospace fighters the Catalyst doesn't currently produce.
I was gonna say too, and terrain, it's different. I think I have a different standard there too. Like a certain level of print marks, I don't know what they actually call it, is completely acceptable because it's terrain, you know, and the way you paint it's different and all
it's
of that
totally
stuff,
different so. Right, you throw texture paint on it, you throw flocking on it.
All right, those buildings too, the Hextech buildings, they look good too.
You're talking about the hardware buildings, hardware studios.
Hardware studios.
Yeah, the Hextech ones that we have were cast, but the hardware gorgeous. Studios ones and then the Thunderhead stuff is very good, yeah.
They were pretty good, yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Again, buildings.
Yep, agreed. Dom,
I hate to be boring, but I really don't like 3D prints either. If we're talking about the actual what you can get on the tabletop, I think there are some acceptable things you can do for it. Like, I've always felt like tanks and vehicles are okay because they're very flat surface. And I think if you, you know, if you use a decent primer on there and then paint them up, and it's like, I think we were talking on a recent Jump Point about, you know, just painting vehicles in a very vanilla fashion, you know, sticking them all in camo or whatever else. And I think you can get away with it to a lot of extents for kind of support units, but the mechs are just so unique, and they've got their own, they're almost like anthropomorphized, right? Like, you know, they've got, they're like your little, you know, soldiers on the tabletop. Children. And I want them to look, yeah, little children on the tabletop.
Growing on the back of a mouse.
Growing on the back of a mouse, yeah. So, you know, you've got this, like, I like that to look amazing, because you kind of, again, when you're playing, you're kind of living vicariously, so then through that tabletop experience. But like I said, with tanks and infantry and stuff like that, I really, that's fine. I mean, just use penny pieces for all I care, stuff like that. Right. I just want the mechs to look great and scaled properly.
I agree. All right. Well, listen, speaking of mechs and speaking of amazing renders, why don't we jump right into our render blender? Are you ready for this time? So this little guy, all right, is one that, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to. I got to be honest. It's classic. It's iconic. I think it's a 40 tonner, which is, you know, just one of those great weight classes. It's like, you know, too small to be threatening, but then, like, if you're, you know, if you're a light mech, like, it's pretty scary. Like, it's kind of that, like,
very,
you know,
scary. That weight jump from a light is significant. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So here it is, the Hermes 2. It will be out in the Kickstarter. Tom, take us away. I'm going to go full screen on this guy. Okay. Here we go.
Do it. No, it's great, dude. And it's got to be the most BA flamer I've ever seen on a mech.
It's insane.
Can you think of a better? Well. Yeah. It's just, yeah. Is there another mech with a better flamer than that? Like,
The Crimson Hawk, is it? That's got an incredible flame.
Okay, mate. Yeah, I'm glad I asked. That's great. It looks like one of those old super soakers, if you remember, like the big canisters. It's just great. Yeah, the whole thing's great. The super high shoulder pauldrons kind of reminds me of the Halo, or actually even the Doom Guy. Kind of reminds me of Doom Guy. I love it. I mean, like, again, like, every gun the thing has is over the top. I mean, look at the gauntlet gun it's got. I mean, the chest thing is, it's like an A-10 Warthog, right? Like, it's probably going to spin the mech around in circles when it fires, you know? So good. and the rifling on the barrel or whatever, what do they call that, when it's got the holes?
Oh,
that's got to be, what is that, an autocannon or...
It's an AC-5. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Again, an AC-5. The thing is as big as its whole body. Like, come on, that's great.
gotta love it.
Great legs. Yeah. Huge feet. Pretty standard back. Again, another great example of them like chunkifying the antennas. Gave it a little bit of a Batman hood, maybe a little bit of a Catman. Would you say, like, it kind of looks like a French bulldog? It kind of looks like a French bulldog.
Oh my god, I see it.
It does a little bit.
Yeah, it's very cute
with the flat, it's very the cute. Flat mouth.
Yep.
I mean, I think it's supposed to be like a, like, you know, the
Hermes
old,
helmet,
like, you
isn't
know,
it?
Hermes helmet. Yeah, from like the Greek mythology.
Yeah, that's right.
He's got the cool helmet. Yeah, man, I would give this guy a 10 out of 10. I have nothing bad to say about it.
Ooh.
That's a strong rating. It's a strong
rating. I was trying to think of something to criticize about it, but there is nothing. It's awesome. Is there something you guys don't like?
I mean, I love it. I think it is a, you know, it's like that Clint.
The legs
assassin,
are a mess, but in a good way.
Quintessential BattleTech 3025-ish type design, you know, and it just screams BattleTech to me, right? I love the detail, like you said, in the flamer. I love the detail in the autocannon. Like, you know, like, is this maybe like the magazine or I don't
the
even
arm
know, like some sort of
shoulder.
Loading mechanism, right? There's just so much detail packed into these
things
juicing. Now.
Look at the biceps. Can you pull that thing up again? Look at the biceps.
He does have. Look at him.
What do you think his stack is? Is he
that.
like,
He's curling he's curling 65s, no doubt.
Like, and then it has these pins on its lower thigh, and it almost makes me think that like you can detach the legs like a pair of shoes or something. Like maybe the whole thing flies away and like leaves the legs behind.
Like, it's like an early version Omni-Man. His legs just fall off.
Yeah, they just drop off. They're like explosive pins. You know, when it gets in a car accident, the legs just fall off.
Oh, wow.
It's for service.
If we're talking about criticisms, I have one slight criticism of this, and I'm not too keen on the pose. The pose needs to be a bit more dynamic for a mech called the Hermes that's quick in 3025 anyway. I just want it to look a little bit more... You know,
in some angles it looks
something's
better.
Something's going on with it. Yeah,
I think that is probably the weakest version of the pose. He looks very stiff. But, man, could you imagine if they printed these articulated? Like you could move those feet around. That'd be so cool.
So cool. And
be very cool. Like the hips have like kind of a ball socket. Yeah, it'd be cool.
When it's grown on the back of a mouse, you'll be able to.
You can do it.
You'll
be able
to articulate them for sure. For sure.
Yeah. What happens? It's like toy soldiers when they or small soldiers when they take over my house and tie me up.
Oh my God! It's like Gulliver's Travels, except with Max. This is a great episode. Yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna round out this this episode with one of your other favorites, Tom. Trivia Tech. Now this one, I made this one not as difficult as some of the others. All right.
Okay.
Okay. Good.
All right. So I'm going to ask the question. It's multiple choice. Tom, you can go first. Tom, you can go second. All right. So question number one, the Savannah Master got its name from A, the primary terrain it was designed for, B, the company that developed it, C, the name of the pilot involved in the unit's testing, or D, the name of the planet where it was produced.
B. What was B? Hold on, wait. What was B?
The company that developed it.
Yeah, B.
Okay.
It's probably actually the Master by Savannah is the right way you're supposed to say it, I've heard. So
I like it. Tom, what do you think?
This is the first trivia tech I know the answer to. The answer is C. It's named after a pilot, which is the stupidest thing I think in all of Battletech.
So the pilot, Dom, you are
Mrs.
correct.
Savannah.
Her name was Savannah Johnson. She piloted a Locust and was... This is the most insane story. Was supposed
to... bizarre,
basically just do like this, you know, like mock battle against a bunch of Savannah Masters. So even when they built them, they know Savannah Master swarms were ridiculous. But so she was supposed to... She kept losing and then like freaked out and like went live fire and the Savannah Master hit her ammunition and blew up her mech. And they're like, we're going to call this thing the Savannah Master.
The Savannah Master.
Well done. Yeah. All right. Here's another equally crazy question. Number two, what is a tank warrior? All right. Tank warrior is a knockoff video game of mech warrior involving tanks. A type of clan warrior genetically modified to pilot tanks. The name of a fake sewage waste company created by MI4, which is, by the way, the Davian like secret service. Or CIA, I guess, in an elaborate infiltration scheme on New Avalon in 3151, or D, something I made up. Tank warrior. Tom.
Man, there's a lot of really good answers in there. And I don't know. I have no clue. There's definitely like a game. I'm going to say A.
Knockoff video game of Mech Warrior involving
you
tanks.
Never go with A, but I'm going with A.
Okay.
Well, testing Locked strategy in. For you.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, C is so preposterous. I think I have to go with C.
It is, in fact, guys, it is B. It is a type of clan warrior genetically modified to pilot tanks.
What?
Of course, it's a Hell's Horses thing. I know, I've never heard of it before until I created this. But it is a thing. Thanks to Sarna. Fantastic resource. All right, last question. We're going to wrap this one up. Which of these things did not happen in 2808? Which of these things did not happen? So one of these events did not happen in the year 2808. A, Callan Industries was founded. B, Ilsa Liao renounces claim to First Lordship. C, the Hermes II is introduced. D, the Mammoth class dropship enters service.
C.
Okay.
Wait, what was the date again? Did I mishear that? 2808?
2808, yeah. So you're in at C.
I just think the Hermes is an earlier Mac. So I'm gonna go Hermes.
So you're both locked in at C? Congratulations, you're both correct. The Hermes was in fact introduced in 2798. So not that long before it. You know, was that 20 years, 10 years, something like that?
I feel vindicated. Anyway. I feel like I'm the smartest person that's ever lived right now.
Smartest person that has ever lived. Tank warrior.
One out of four, baby.
All right. Well, guys.
The highest score you can get. Yeah.
I love it. There were like a ton of comments about the Zeus burger, by the way, and when we did that episode, the trivia text fun. So, guys, hope you enjoyed this one. A couple of things before we wrapped up. Number one, Ares Games and Minis. Don't forget to check it out. Everything you need for BattleTech is there. All the official stuff, the minis, the books, the dice, everything. And you can get, also speaking of 3D printing, you can get 3D printed terrain there. There's some fantastic stuff there. Hardware Studios, Thunderhead Studios, some really, really good stuff to get your hands on at Ares Games and Minis. Additionally, guys, don't forget to subscribe, thumbs up, and leave a comment. We absolutely love the discussion. You can get involved in more discussion over in Discord as well. And if you want to get more involved in the channel, just head on over to Patreon. It's as little as $1 per month that gets you in on the action. So that's it. I'm all wrapped up. Tom and Dom, I hope you guys have a wonderful day. And for all of you wonderful Wargamers out there, thank you so much for watching. Have a great Sunday. And of course, stay tuned. Always great stuff coming from Death from Above Wargaming.